Now, one other passage. Go over to Romans 8, verse 1. Although this is true of all of us as believers, we're in this battle, and it's an intense battle. You need to also understand verse 1 where he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. This is right after he's just said, I'm a wretch. He's a wretch, but there's no condemnation. That brings you all the way back to chapter 4 because we have the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. God doesn't accept us because we're victorious in this battle. God accepts us because of what Jesus Christ has done on His merits and His merits alone. So I, even though I'm in this struggle that goes on constantly, day by day, I don't back away from God. I still have the freedom to come into His presence with a boldness, with assurance of acceptance, because I come through the blood of Jesus Christ, not through my own efforts or through my own goodness. And so I'm no longer under any condemnation. Even though I continue to fall short, even though I battle there in Romans chapter 7, all we could call that is God's grace, God's mercy, the mercy that we found in Christ Jesus. And in my relationship with the Lord, I find myself in Romans chapter 7, but I refuse to allow the devil or even my own heart bring condemnation to my life because it's not from God. I realize that I'm carnal. I realize that I'm wretched compared to God's perfections, but yet God still invites me into His presence because I'm coming not on my abilities, not on my efforts, but through the righteousness of Jesus Christ and through His shed blood. So you need to be able to put all these things together. Even though you're weak and carnal and sinful, we're going to be that way till the Lord comes back, or till we die and we're in His presence, experience that perfection. God is not condemning us at this point, because our acceptance is based on our faith in Christ. We're saved by grace through faith. It's a gift. We have continual access by the grace of God and not by my works. And a lot of people relate to God by saying, well, I'm doing good, therefore I could come to God. I'm doing bad, therefore I'm condemned. And they live this relationship in and out of God's acceptance. And that's because they're basing it on their own efforts. And I'll tell you what, there's no peace in that. And the Lord's given us peace. The Bible says we are at peace with God. Romans 5, verse 1. The reason Romans 8, 1 is true is because Romans 5, 1 is true. Therefore, having been justified, that's past tense. I am justified. I've been acquitted. It's a legal term. You go to a court, it says you're justified. You're not guilty. You're not condemned. That has taken place in my life. And because of that, that's happened by faith and not my ongoing works, thank God, because I fall short in my works. As I even analyze my own works, there's still a taint of sin, even in the good things that I do. There's nothing that I do that's absolutely pure and perfect, even in the good that's there. So I don't approach God based on my goodness. I approach it based on that I have been justified by faith. Therefore, or basically, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, that's an ongoing present. I am presently at peace with God because I'm justified. Even though Romans 7 is absolutely true of all of us, we're in that battle, we're in that struggle, it still remains true that I'm at peace with God. God is not in a hostile position towards His children because the area of sin has been taken care of at the cross, and my faith was in Christ, in His completed work. When He said, it is finished, that's what He meant. He didn't say, it is finished, now Brian, you carry on from here. It's done. It's completed. And I approach God that way. Now, as we come to Romans 7, I got a new spirit, got the Holy Spirit in me. I got this body that sin dwells in. And the battle goes on. And hopefully it's clear from the Scripture that there's no shortcut. There's no bypassing the struggle. And if you're here tonight and you're thinking, that this is not true of me, I've grown beyond that, you're the one that needs the most help. Because you are self-deceived. That's what Romans 7, I believe it's verse 7, says sin deceives. And if you think you've conquered sin, and you got it down pat, you're the one that needs the most help. And you have a wrong view of God's perfections and God's holiness, a wrong view of yourself, and a wrong view of others. When you come to realize, I need God's help, I need God's mercy, I believe that's maturity. And we could say like Paul, I am the chief of sinners. I want to read something to you that Martin Luther said about this. He says, I am carnal, sold under sin. That is the proof of a spiritual and wise man. He knows that he is carnal and he is displeased with himself. Indeed, he hates himself and praises the law of God, which he recognizes because he is spiritual. But the proof of the foolish, carnal man is this, that he regards himself as spiritual and is pleased with himself. So have you ever come to the point where you think, I'm okay? You have worse troubles than this one lesson is going to be able to help you with. That's pride. The Bible says hunger and thirst after righteousness. And I'm sure you've experienced as you hunger and thirst for righteousness, God gives you a little bit. You want a little more and a little more and a little more. And your heart is never satisfied with the work and the presence and the power of God that you're desiring to have. And I think Paul is here at a point of maturity expressing that struggle that we all experience, longing for more of God's work, but realizing something, this law, this power, is pulling him away, causing him to be incapable of living out all that is within his heart. Now, Paul is not saying that he doesn't do anything right. What he's saying is, I can't live up to the law as I would desire to, because on the inward man, I delight in the law of God. I think we all would say that. We see the commands of God and we say, yeah, that's right, that's holy, that's just, that's pure, but yet I still continue to fall short. And so Paul's not saying he only sins. He's saying I can't live out according to the desires of my heart. And that gap, unfortunately, exists in all of our lives. But we don't give up. We don't give up and say, well, it's just who I am and I'm never going to be able to do that, nor do we place ourselves under condemnation. So let's give you a little outline, real simple. Paul repeats himself three times. In verses 14 through 17, it's a dirge or a lament about his condition and a longing for freedom, a longing for deliverance. He says the same thing in verses 18 through 20, and then in verses 21 through 24. It's a repetition, and you'll see it. Basically, I struggle with sin. I want to do right, but I don't. And at the end, it really gets intense where he cries out to God for deliverance. So it's a matter of repeating itself three times here. And let's just kind of start reading there in verse 14. He says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." So it's not the law's fault. The law is perfect, we just don't live up to it. And we are under the power and influence of sin. It's still there, even though we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. "For what I am doing, I do not understand." To me, that is my life. I don't understand why it is that there's like something holding me back from living the life that I desire to on the inside. And every time I sin, I say, oh, why do I do that? That's foolish. It's like I don't understand it completely. I have a will that's set on doing what is right, and I find myself not doing that and doing the very opposite. And so Paul is, I believe he's saying here, this isn't really what I want, it's not what I'm longing for, and I can't explain it all the way, I don't understand it. "For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree that the law, that it is good." Something interesting in these three verses, Paul is talking about, first of all, his mind, says the understanding. Then he also talks about the emotions, I hate it. Then he also talks about the will. So the whole person is involved in this struggle, in this power to, this battle to get free of this thing that's holding him back. So I believe here it's Paul with all of his heart trying to, with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength and everything within him, trying to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord, and there's a battle that's going on. Now, you need to understand that I believe what the Bible teaches, because a lot of people want to experience victory, and I believe there is victory in Jesus Christ. But victory does not mean that somehow I conquer over the presence of sin. I don't have to give in to the flesh. We learn that in Romans chapter 6. I do not have to sin. I have a new nature, a new power that God's given me. And when I sin, I choose to do it. And that battle I can win through God's grace, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through hiding the Word of God in my heart, by receiving everything that the Lord has for me, being in fellowship, being in the Word, and so that battle can be won. But what's not going to disappear is the conflict that's there.
That is not the victory that the Bible promises. The Bible doesn't promise you that you'll ever come to a point where this battle and this conflict and this law that's working against your heart, that you'll ever be free of that until death. I believe that's the reality of the Christian. I believe that's what Paul's trying to get at the heart of. And so if you're setting your sight on coming to a point where you no longer have this force working against you, it's not going to take place in this life. The only way I can understand it is wherever you go in this earth, there's going to be gravity. You just can't get away from it. That's the same thing with this power or law of sin that's there. It's always going to be pressing against you. And every time you want to get up to do something right there, it pops up, and then the battle's on. Now, the Bible does say we don't have to give in to those desires because that old man was crucified. We can't say, well, I just don't have any control over this. That's not what the Scriptures say. But realize that battle is going to be constant. And I wish I had news that would just say, hey, just take these three steps, take this little gospel pill, and you'll be delivered of this problem. It doesn't exist. So we decide each and every day to take up our cross, deny ourselves, and to follow the Lord. And you say, yeah, it's tiring. Well, yeah, it is. I think we could all say that. There's times where we just want to say, I'm tired of battling this that's coming against me, this law of sin. But where's it going to get you? And what fruit is that going to produce? Romans 6 says we already experienced that. We're ashamed of those things. Let's not go back to that. Let's keep pressing on by God's strength and God's